Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, everyone. This is Chris with the Real Life Mentoring Podcast. Christina, my wife, is not working with me today, so I'm doing this alone. But I want to keep this pretty simple. I want to talk about an important aspect of why mentoring is so important, why building and developing and engaging meaningful relationships is so important, so necessary. So here's a statement for you. What people are dealing with, and many times no one else even knows about it. Think about that. Think about the things that you have dealt with internally. It's thoughts, it's challenges, it's struggles inside your head, inside your heart. And they're very important because they directly impact you. And indirectly, or maybe directly, impact others in your life who you love and care for. So what are some things that people deal with that maybe no one else knows about? And it's not like we're trying to hide anything, but I will say, in the American culture, I believe we're pretty much taught this. Kind of hold it in, push through, you can deal with this on your own, especially if you're a man. Don't ask for help. That shows a sign of weakness. And these are just statements that are false, I will call them lies. So here's some thoughts, some things that people deal with, but many times others don't realize this. And how do I know this? As a mentor, as a man who has mentored men for many, many years, different ages, different backgrounds, different cultures, people are people. And these are some things that I know people are dealing with and have dealt with. Here's a short list. Depression, sexual identity, anxiety and fear, insecurity of all kinds, doubts about the future, regrets about the past, stress and being unsure about the present. So as I list those, as a listener, think about this and ask yourself, when's the last time I dealt with depression or at least heavy discouragement? When I think about myself sexually, do I really understand my true identity? What about anxiety and fear? When's the last time I dealt with anxiety or fear? Is it a pattern? Is it consistent? Does it happen occasionally? Insecurity. What would you say you're insecure about? Here's some examples. We can feel insecure about ourselves physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, educationally, professionally. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's so many aspects of insecurity, and they can never be addressed by just using outside sources, tools, if you understand what I mean. It happens, it has to happen inside at some point. Yes, I can go to a class and learn some good things that help me with an insecurity, but at some point, I've got to look inside of who I am and go, what's going on? Why does this insecurity keep coming up in my life? Again, this is a short list of some things that people deal with, and many times people don't know about it. One of the things I want to address is I want to talk about unhealthy expectations that we're given many times. I say many times, at least sometimes, in the workplace, in church, in the area of our education, and sometimes even in our families. Here's an example. Here's a question that is asked often, and we ask it in our American society so often that it has become null and void. How are you doing? And the person would quickly say, what? I'm fine. And how are you? In reality, this person that is asked this question, how are you doing? Maybe they're dealing with depression. Maybe they're struggling with their sexual identity. Maybe they're dealing with anxiety and fear and the insecurity we talked about. Maybe doubts and regrets and stress and being unsure. And yet what comes out of our mouths many times, and this is not a judgment, this is just a reality, things we are taught. You say, I'm doing good, and how are you? It seems to be almost like a game that we are playing, that we're handed. And if I'm not careful, that will come out of my mouth sometimes. I've learned to do this when I've learned to do this with guys who I've mentored and currently mentoring. I want to know how you're doing, really. So I'll say, how are you doing, really? Add that word at the end of it. and pause. Ask that person in front of you, say, how are you doing, comma, really? And just pause for a moment. I think they will look at you and go, what? And you ask, how are you doing, really? And they will look at you and go, you really want to know? And if you can have the courage to say yes, and then just listen well and receive whatever they have to say, it doesn't matter how uncomfortable it is, how awkward it may feel, maybe it's something you've never heard or understood before. If you could just listen and receive it, again, asking that question, how are you doing, really? We lived overseas for many years in the Austrian culture, and it became a second home for us as a family. But I remember asking a specific man in my life at the time, how are you doing, really? He looked at me with such surprise, and he said, Chris, you really want to know how I'm really doing, don't you? And I said, I do. I don't want to talk about the weather. I don't want to talk about sports. I want to know how you are really doing. You know what that did for our friendship? What that did for our relationship? It's like he was able to exhale for the first time in our relationship anyway and say, well, now that you ask and now that you really want to know, this is going on and this is going on and it's really difficult. I want to give up some days. In fact, I've had some horrible thoughts in my mind. I've struggled so much and wanting to give up. And I would never have heard those things from him. He never would have had the courage had I not taken the time to say, how are you doing, really? So again, today's topic is about what people are dealing with, and many times no one else even knows it. Think about sitting in church, and you look around, and at least in the American culture, you usually have music, and people are singing. You hear someone, there's a pastor, and he is teaching and preaching, and people may be taking notes, and you talk before the service, you maybe talk with them after the service, and there's nothing wrong with this in itself, but if it's the ongoing pattern, to me it's a problem. So people come to church, and they do these things. We sing, we hear a sermon, we greet one another, and then we go home. All the while, really struggling with something going on inside. I may have shared this aspect of my life in other episodes, but it's important that I share it in this particular episode. So I remember growing up in the church, and keep in mind that I grew up in the home of a father who struggled with alcoholism. He was abusive. Our home was chaotic, always stressful, and I mean always, always stressful. There was if nothing was happening physically or outwardly, there was internal stress going on because of what had been handed to us. But I remember thinking, okay, I will go to church. And this is what I thought as a young boy. At church, people will talk about real stuff. And so I can talk about the things that are in my mind, that are in my heart, and maybe get some answers and get some of this stress off of me. I actually thought these things as a boy. But you know what happened? I went to church and heard some good sermons, I guess. Went to, you know, children's and classes and youth classes, and we sang music, and I liked all of that, I'm sure. But no one talked with me about real stuff. No one ever asked me, looked me in the eyes as a young boy and said, Chris, how are you doing, really? That would have been incredible, especially had another man done that. Even if a woman, a teacher had done that at church, it would have been so helpful. But no one asked me how I was really doing. And then I made the assumption that everyone at church, their lives were great. They were normal. And I looked at our lives, the life that I had with my family at home growing up, and I thought, man, we are so messed up. I guess everyone else is doing great but us. But had people had the courage and the cultural mindset when I was growing up in the church as a child to actually ask one another those questions, I would have heard some stories that would have told me other people struggle as well. As a listener right now, you have some of your own struggles. You have some of your own challenges. Some of the stuff you're probably embarrassed about. I have been. You cannot imagine having a conversation with another person about some of the struggles inside your mind and your heart. But you know what? That's wrong. I have a strong, real faith in God, in His Son, Jesus Christ. I have experienced the Holy Spirit of God in my life, and I continue to, and it really is amazing. And yet, guess what? I still struggle. I still have challenges. I still sin. I still have doubts. I still deal with fears and insecurity. But I can tell you this much. At my age, God has done something in my soul. He's given me such a resolve, a confidence that no one can touch. And I know that's there. I know it. And yet, I still struggle because I'm human. So I just want to encourage you as you're listening, first of all, be honest with yourself and say, these are some struggles I'm having. These are some doubts. These are some fears. This is some insecurity. This is some confusion I'm dealing with. Consider talking to someone about it. Consider looking around. If you're a man, find another man. If you're a part of a church, if you're not, find another man whom you believe you could trust and say, look, could I have a conversation with you? I'd like to talk to you about some things I deal with. If you're a woman, find another woman and talk about these things. Get it out of your mouth. And it may feel awkward and strange and uncomfortable in the beginning, but I promise you, when you have a trusted mentor, someone you could just sit and talk with, and you know they will listen, they will not judge you, they will keep it confidential, you can begin to unload, that's a good word, to unload the stress, the insecurity, the anxiety and fear, the doubts, regrets, the stress that are inside your mind and your heart. And I'm going to tell you, it feels really good. There are a number of examples I could share, but just as a man, I go, okay, who would I talk to today if I had a struggle? Well, a couple of guys come to my mind. I want to be very deliberate about that. I want to say, who can I talk to personally today about these struggles? Because we all have difficulties. We all have challenges. And we want to know there's hope out there. Here's an important thing to understand. Your struggles and your challenges will make some people very uncomfortable. And I would just tell you, don't stress about that. Those are the people that you don't need to talk with about your challenges and your struggles and your issues. But there are some people out there who won't be uncomfortable by the true things you say. They'll be able to listen and care about you and hopefully give you resources and strength and support to help you walk through some of these. Let me add to this list. So you're not alone in your struggles. In the past and currently, as I have mentored people, these are some things people are dealing with. Eating disorders, struggling with OCD and ADD or ADHD, I believe it is. Physical and sexual abuse, emotional abuse they've dealt with or dealing with. There's a lot of financial stress out there. As a man, I'm going to speak directly to the men for a moment on this. We are told and we are handed this, you're the man, get a job. These things are true and important, and you provide for your family. That's all good to a point, but we're human, and the level of stress and anxiety that can happen, that can land on top of a man, young, middle-aged, older man, trying to do their jobs well, to make a living for their family, and things happen that are unexpected, challenges knock them down financially, and it can be a major stress. I know personally, many years ago, I was in my 30s, married a little girl. I think our oldest was 4 years old. We were expecting our second, and this is a true story. I'm a pretty confident man at this point in my 30s, and yet I was in this position, this job, that we had moved from our home state, and we'd been at this job in this new state for about 1 year and 8 months, I think it was. And I knew I had to resign from this position. There was so much behind-the-scenes abuse, politics, just a lot of ugly stuff, that's a simple way to say it, going on behind the scenes, and I could no longer allow myself to be a part of that. I thought, I am a man of integrity. I'm not going to do it. But I realized when I resign from my position, I do not have a job waiting on me. And I have a little girl. I have a wife. I've got another daughter on the way. I have to earn a living. And I'm telling you, I was struggling and stressing. I resigned my position. I was given 2 weeks' pay, I believe it was, because I had vacation pay coming. It was not a good ending. It was received. It wasn't received. I just simply wrote a very generic letter. And, man, they were very angry. And basically, we were attacked as a family. I was attacked, namely, as the employee. That made it more difficult. I remember, maybe that same week, we received an unexpected letter from the IRS stating that we owed maybe a couple of $1,000 in federal taxes we were not expecting. We'd had a home that we had finally sold from the other state we had moved from, and we'd taken some of the equity that we had in that home. It wasn't a great deal, wasn't a large amount, but it was, you know, what we had, and we put it in with a financial foundation in this other state we were living. And it was after, I think, we resigned, I resigned from this position, that I received a letter stating that this financial foundation had gone bankrupt and we had lost the equity we had had as savings from the sale of that home. That was stressful. When I ended my job, and I knew I was supposed to, I wasn't ignorant about this. I wasn't unwise. I was actually being wise, but to many people, it felt unwise. I've got a point in telling you all this. We lost our health coverage, and we were expecting a baby. I mean, we had nothing at this point. And I'm going to tell you, God was amazing in how he provided for my family and me. It was still difficult. Some days, many days, it was difficult to get out of bed. We returned to our home state, and we had to live with my in-laws because we had no home to go to. Took a job through a temp agency that was not what I expected to do. I wasn't making much money, but it was helping pay some bills. So why do I tell you this story about my own personal life? Because I was really struggling as a man. I had so many doubts and fears, and they were hammering me. And I did not feel good about myself in many ways. I knew God was with me because I had that relationship for many years, but I was still struggling. It would have been really nice had there been another man who followed God and said, "Chris, I want to take you out for coffee and I want to talk to you and I want to ask you this question. Chris, how are you doing, really?" And it would have been so nice, it would have been, to just have some silence there and to look that man in the eyes and say, "I am doing horribly. I'm fearful. I'm struggling in so many areas of my life. I need help. I need support." And for him to look at me and say, "Chris, I don't have maybe some answers right now, but I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you get some answers. But you know what, Chris, I want you to understand, these struggles you're dealing with, there's so much more to the real Chris Elledge than this shows. I'm going to help you find that. I'm going to help you discover your real confidence is not in a job. It's not in a paycheck. It's not in what someone else says about you. But I'm going to walk this journey with you. I'm going to help you." Guys, here it is in a nutshell. People are struggling in many areas. I promise you, the woman at the grocery store, the man at the grocery store, the cashier, the professor, maybe you're in university, the professor behind the podium, the pastor behind the podium, the nurse, the doctor at the hospitals, the police officer, the firefighter, the attorney, the teacher at school, your next door neighbor. I could go on and on. Everyone has some struggle and some challenges. What if we took the time to get to know people and built a level of trust where you could ask that person, "How are you doing, really?" And then engage them in an ongoing conversation where you could be a source of great, great help for them. Think about that, how you could use your life that way. With real life mentoring, this is what we care about. Using your life, your skills, your abilities, your background, your education, your own challenges, your own struggles. All of these things can help you become a trusted mentor to another person. So anyway, I just want to thank you guys for listening today. I hope I haven't rambled too much, but the fact is, we all have challenges and struggles. It's time that we get real, open our mouths and ears, and start talking to someone else about it and asking for help. In fact, what if we don't have to ask for help so much that people are so assertive to go, you know what? I know this person has some struggles. There's no shame in that. I do too. I'm going to find out what they are, and I'm going to help this person with it. Thank you for listening today. Today's sponsor of the Real Life Mentoring Podcast is the shelter insurance company, the Aaron Reese Agency. Aaron's agency offers auto, home, life, and business insurance, and they truly do strive to build real-life relationships with their customers. I can personally say I am a customer of the Aaron Reese Agency. They always greet me with helpful assistance. I can really depend on them. I highly recommend them. And if you want to contact them, you can go to the website is A-R-U-I-Z at shelterinsurance.com. Thank you guys, and we'll talk again.